This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, February 19th, 2017. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now, on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio, waiting to take your phone calls on anything you'd like to talk about. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. That's how you find us here. And you know what? You've had problems, right? And you've done everything that you can think of doing, and you've come up with the same old, not a whole lot of anything that really makes sense, nothing that works. Well, this is an opportunity. Let's figure it out together. Let's kind of open the blinds, so to speak. And by the way, speaking of opening the blinds, what an amazing, gorgeous day in the Washington metropolitan area. Oh, my God. It is absolutely stunning. It's amazing. 67 degrees as I was headed to the studio today. I'll tell you what, you want to, you know, feel good? That sunshine, that warmth, just go enjoy it. Go for a walk. Get out. Get off your duff. I mean, make sure you take your portable radio with me, with you, your iPhone, so you can listen to the program. But nevertheless, go check it out. It's a great, great, great day. 888-630-9625. Have you thought about this? We have, you know, the flu bug out there. We have colds, upper respiratory problems. We have that ugly norovirus coming out of both ends of you in some situations. And did you wonder why it got you? Do you wonder why it bit you? You know, you're kind of tripping along pretty good, and all of a sudden, bang, you're down. Well, there's this thing called stress. And we're going to talk about stress today. We're going to talk about how stress impacts your immune system and what you can do about it. But, you know, this Wednesday evening, the 22nd of February at the Rozelle Center for Healing, Dr. Robert Ciprian is going to present a topic. It's a guide to leaving emotional stress behind you. Isn't that cool? Would you like to get rid of that crap? You know, not have it bother you at all? Well, in studio, as well as this Wednesday evening, we're going to talk about it today. Dr. Robert, welcome.
Hello.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. The sunshine out there, yeah.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. It's an extraordinary day. When I'm done with you today, I'm going outside. I'm going for a long, long, long walk. This is one of those days that you want to put away and just in case stuff happens. Now, let's get right into this topic because it's an important one. You know, and I alluded to the fact that stress is one of those things that knocks everything out. Stress kills. We've heard that many times. In our practice, we look at everybody from structural, chemical, emotional pathway, that emotional side being stress. So here's the deal. We just came off the wintertime, right? Christmas and, you know, the holidays and, you know, New Year's Eve. And we started this actually way back at Halloween, where people eating all kinds of nonsense that they shouldn't eat anyway. But now we get into the dark periods. The sun goes away. People suffer with SAD, seasonal affective disorders. And now they're getting sick. How does that happen? Why? Why this time of the year?
It's the accumulation of stress. You're eating bad. You're having to do more things for the holidays, having to run around here and there. And as the stress builds up in several different ways, biochemically, emotional stress, and, you know, your body's a bit out of place too, those things build up, and then all of a sudden it could bring you down.
So how does stress affect that immune response? You know, we just said there's a problem here. How does it affect immunological responses, keeping us healthy?
Well, you have the autonomic nervous system, which is kind of what sounds like the automatic nervous system. And there's two parts to that. There's either the rest and digest part, where your immune system is working well, digestion, hormones, everything. And then there's the fight or flight part, which is kind of when you're nervous, rushing around. And when you're in that fight or flight nervous system, your immune system takes a dive because your body feels, well, I don't need this because I'm doing with some different things here.
All right, so you have stress, and stress can be broken down into good stress and bad stress, because the truth of it is, if we took stress away completely, you know, even for 30 seconds, and I mean no stress whatsoever, we'd die.
Yes.
Literally stop physiologically functioning, we'd be done. So when you're dealing with the stress mechanism of good and bad stuff, is it good stress and bad stress, or is it the continued stress?
It's continued stress. There's something known as success syndrome, where everything's going great in life, but you don't get a rest, and all of a sudden you break down and get the flu or cold or something else going on.
So how does, you know, when you see a patient that walks in and they're complaining of whatever it is, their high blood pressure, or they, you know, they say they hurt all over, they got digestive heart problems, or they have heart palpitations, or, you know, their mood is altered in some way. How do you as a practitioner begin to look at that patient with a divining rod, if you will, and determine whether or not, you know, this is just a physiological problem that you have to deal with either neurologically or biochemically, or that, in fact, there's a stress pattern that's associated with that was the underlying triggering pattern?
Well, the biggest thing to do is to actually sit down with someone, see what's going on with their health, take a health history, and talk to them about their life and figure out what's going on in their life, because you have to have a picture of what is going on in their world when they're not in the office.
So what are your keys? I mean, the patient's in front of you. What does that mean? What are the typical indicators? You said your patient comes in and, doc, you know, I'm sore. I hurt. I can't do much of anything anymore without my body, just aching all the time. How do you determine whether it's a functional problem that is mechanical, or if it's something that has been accumulated over a period of time in stress? What's the determining factors other than, you know, having a conversation? Yeah, we all have stress. We all live in Washington, you know, and, you know, but what are the pieces that you look for as a practitioner?
Well, I ask them how long has this been going on for, and see what other things also cropped up in their life around then too. Did they get into a car accident and all of a sudden things start happening? Did they get, you know, had this at a patient with a flu bug that they got at Thanksgiving, and they're still recovering from that? I mean, and Thanksgiving's been gone months ago, but it's something that lingered with them. So in that case, yeah, looking more toward digestive. If someone more of a car accident or something like that, when you're looking at where things started, you're going to look more to the structural aspect.
Okay, let's talk about the guy that has a car accident. It's actually very poignant. Patient comes in and, you know, they're complaining of headaches and neck pain, and traditionally we're going to talk to them and ask them a question. Have you ever had a trauma injury, whether significant or minor? Significant be obviously car accident, a fall, whatever. Or it can be minor. It could be the way they sit at work, the way their computer screen lines up, the fact that they're out of shape, that they don't walk anywhere, they drive, you know, from pillar to post. So when you have that patient that has had a trauma, they had a car accident 15 years ago, but they also work in a pressure cooker, you know, one of the Beltway Bandits downtown. But you've got this situation, you know, where they were hit from behind, and all your indicators tell you that you've got a potential problem there because it was never really resolved. But you also got something that suggests that this constant day-to-day stress that this patient is going through is affecting many systems. One, our dear friend, the adrenal system, fight-flight system. So how do you know which came first, the chicken or the egg?
I don't always know. Sometimes you just got to work on both. Usually when someone comes in, I got to see whatever their chief complaint is and work on that aspect. And I also got to check the adrenal glands and make sure they're working. Sometimes it's a two-layered treatment you got to do with people over the time to get them well.
If you have a patient who has, you know, an emotional attachment to that injury, okay, let's go directly to the accident case, because this happens in more cases than not. The patient has a rear-end collision, and before that rear end, they look up into the mirror, they see the car coming, they hear the squealing of the tires, they have, you know, a certain perception of that moment. There may have been some music on, and something that they enjoyed. They may have been thinking through a process, something at work or a family member or somebody that they were involved in a relationship. And now with all those emotional cues in place, now they were hit from behind. How much of that locks in and is locked cooperatively together. It has to be treated before you can get rid of the problem.
Yes, any of those things that they were exposed to at the time of the trauma can be locked in as what I like to call anchors, and those things got to be checked out. And one of the best things I like to do is have someone just think about the moment of the accident and start testing some muscles. And sometimes the nervous system will just shut down when they think about the incident like that.
So, in other words, when you're testing a muscle for facilitation or inhibition, strength or weakness, and you haven't visualized the accident, a muscle that might be strong to begin with or facilitated properly working the way it's supposed to, now when you put them in that condition, suddenly all those muscles begin to misfire. Is that what I hear you saying?
It's fascinating to watch that happen. You just have them think about it. It's like they're recreating it in their mind.
So all you have to do is that the body realize that the body doesn't know the difference between an actual experience and one that it thinks about. Now this is really what we're talking about.
Yes.
Okay, so physiologically we're dealing with something that has a recidivistic trigger, and it can affect any system in the body. Let's go back to our car accident patient. And I'm picking on that not for any other reason other than so many of our listeners have had a mild fender bender one time or the other. And, you know, I want them to think about it. Here's another piece that I want them to think about. Think about the very first time that you were involved with another human being, that, you know, this very special person in your life, it was that moment. It was that, oh, my God, moment, right? And at that time, there was music. There may have been, you know, a very special smell in the air. It could have been fall. It could have been spring. You know, we have those specific odors. Now, all you have to do is go back into that pattern. Remember that song. Remember that embrace, that dance. Remember the smell of the air. And just like our car accident, we're right back into it. Is that correct?
Yes. And some other fascinating things, it could be food you're eating or something you're drinking too that could also bring you back to those things, good or bad.
So in other words, when somebody comes in with pain or discomfort or any kind of even an anxiety reaction pattern, until you can get them back into that mode, into that place where they can actually bring it up like on a computer screen, you can't fix it.
No.
And that's in the second half of the program. We're going to get into this process that you're an expert at called neuroemotional technique or NET and how that really applies to all this. And I'm kind of setting the stage for that right now. But the thing with it is that we have to remember that we're more than just our physical surroundings. We are the physiological, emotional interrelationship between those two. And until we can identify that with people, we have a problem. Let's talk about that fight-flight system, that adrenal gland. You know, that sits on top of the kidneys, and it has to do with virtually every process in the body. And it can put out all kinds of hormones. But when you have a trigger to something that happened at a certain period of time under a fight-flight reaction, that adrenal system kicks in. So what you're saying to me, if I get this correctly, is that anybody that continues to put themselves back into that triggering pattern that caused that adrenal system to crank itself up, causing blood pressure hormones to go up and so forth, continues to revisit that same state as long as they're in a similar condition over and over again. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. And this is a primordial mechanism that has helped us a lot. Like, say, you know, you're a hunter and gatherer, you see a bear, you know what a bear could do to you, you have a reaction. So every time you see the bear again or a similar type of animal, you have the same reaction. It was designed to help us. But nowadays, we are so good at actually just learning these responses that we get them all over the place, and a lot of times they're not needed.
My guest in studio, Dr. Robert Ciprian, your host this Wednesday evening at the Rozelle Center for Healing, is going to be talking about emotional stress patterns, anxiety reactions, and why sometimes they don't go away. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio. Call me, 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Love to take your phone calls. What a gorgeous Washington day. Man, I'm telling you, get outside and go for a long, long walk. It is spectacular. It's amazing outside. My guest in studio, Dr. Robert Ciprian, your host this Wednesday evening, February the 22nd, 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing. What is he going to be talking about? Emotional stress, a guide to leaving that emotional stress behind. You know, because if you listen to the first half of the program so far, you're hearing us talk about the relationship between stress and everything else that just doesn't go away. And you could have had an accident, and the whole circumstances around the accident are embedded. They're deeply attached to your nervous system. And until those are dealt with, that pain that you got, that headache that you go, that numbness, that tingling, that diabetes, that high blood pressure just is not going to give. And you've got to treat all sides. This is where we really get into that structural, chemical, emotional pathway. We're going to get into this in depth in the second half of the program. We're going to talk a whole lot about this technique called a neuroemotional technique or neuroemotional response. And Dr. Cyprian is an expert in that area. But before we do that, we have a couple of people that are sitting here, and then we'll get right back into the meat of the program. Shirley, thank you for being extremely patient. How can I help you?
Good afternoon, Dr. Roselle and Dr. Zipperman. Yes, your topic is really right on time. I have every day just about, I have ailments all day long, headaches, dizziness, stomach problems. I'm constantly fighting all day long, you know, to basically survive. I mean, all kinds of things.
Not good.
Vertigo. I'm wondering that fight system or the adrenal gland.
Sure.
What can I do?
Okay, so there's lots. Let me ask you a couple questions. How old are you?
Oh, my, 73.
Okay, what type of medications are you taking?
Well, my doctor just slapped some diazepam. You know, I take that. And for the anxiety and the panic attacks. And
okay. So let me kind of, in a very short period of time, I mean, you're talking about a stress pattern that, and Dr. Cyprian, feel free to, you know, to add to this. There's this thing called HPA axis, and that's your hypothalamus pituitary adrenal. It's a central axis, and its primary job is to control and regulate stress patterns throughout the entire hormone system of the body. When we're under constant stress, and by the way, stress can be anything from injury to emotional, you know, how we handle things, how we make decisions, how we process things, and also the biochemical imbalances, blood sugar handling. Just very quickly, there was a book that was written many, many moons ago that was about how blood sugars are balanced in the body, and when they're not, you go into stress. And it's called sugar blues, and because blues meaning depression, and it's very telling relative to what happens when the blood sugars are off, and if they're not balanced properly, you're in your real trouble. But you add that to injuries, small injuries over time. You add that to decision processing. You know what we make decisions constantly in our lives about what things mean to us. And if we make the wrong decisions and we carry that throughout our lives, then everything that is similar to that and like that becomes the same. So, you know, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's probably a duck, even though that's not a duck. But it has the same characteristics. So what you get into is, you know, over a period of time, it stacks on top of each other, and the pain doesn't go away. Then the heart starts being a problem. The blood pressure goes up,
yes.
And, you know, the blood sugars get crazy, and, you know, you have all that. So that's called metabolic syndrome. So what can you do about it? Lots. There's tremendous amount that you can do about it, but it has to be treated multidimensionally. And as Dr. Cyprian was saying earlier, you've got to find out, I said, does it make any difference, the chicken or the egg? He says, no, you got to treat both of them.
Yes. Yeah, so you got to look and see what's going on. You got to find out, first of all, what's not working right, and you got to work on the backup system of the body, which is that adrenal gland system. Both of those are very important, because if you fix the symptoms and you don't fix the adrenal glands, it won't stay there. It won't stay fixed.
I had a test for the adrenal gland to see how it was working about 5 years ago, and it came back normal.
Well, you had blood work done, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the wrong test to have done. See, you have this big...
Well, I asked for adrenal.
I understand that. I understand.
Uh-huh.
So you had adrenal hormones that were done through the blood, but the salivary hormones, the ones that are in your saliva, in your spit, are the ones that are the most free acting. And it has to be taken not just a one shot, it has to be taken over a period of time. So when we do adrenal fight-flight tests, we do multiple tests in one day with saliva hormone. And when you take one draw in the morning, it doesn't tell you anything. If you're doing your steroids, your DHEAs and so forth in the morning or midday or later on in the day, it only tells you at that moment in time what's available in the greater pool, but it doesn't tell you whether you're transporting anything, Shirley. So there's ways of doing that. And then you've got to look at the structural linkage that's associated, how that's affecting the body. You look at the biochemistry to see what the blood sugars are doing. Shirley, listen to the program and attend Dr. Cyprian's presentation this Wednesday night. You can be helped. This is not something that you have to continue to suffer with. We're coming up to a break. Wish we didn't have to, but we do. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Roselle. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Roselle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roselle live in studio. I'm going to get outside of studio as soon as we're done here at 67 degrees. I mean, it is stunning. Go outside and play. Have a good time. Go for a walk. You know, maybe you'll catch me. We'll wave and say, hey, it's a beautiful day. It is absolutely stunning. 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. That's how you reach me here. And how you register for this Wednesday evening's presentation at the Roselle Center for Healing. How you do that is you call 703-698-7117, 703-698-7117, and you tell the staff that you'd like to attend Dr. Robert Cyprian's presentation on stress, leaving stress behind, getting rid of that nastiness that's locking in and holding your pain and making your brain go away and not working the way it's supposed to. Dr. Robert Cyprian is an expert in something called neuroemotional technique, and we're going to get into that in a second. But just before we do that, Diane, thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Hi. Yes, Dr. Roselle, Dr. Cyprian, thank you for taking my call. I actually live in the D.C. area. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
And I've been to your seminars. They're very educational. Thank you. I am up in Rhode Island. I come up every few months to visit some friends of mine. They're in their 80s. He is 80. He fell about 8.5 years ago, had a pretty bad fall, which left him with a little stenosis and I think some sciatica. He also has deterioration of his myelin sheath, which he is convinced is just hereditary because he said his father had it, although his father lived to be just under 100. And
that's not bad.
I've done some research. He's being treated right now by a neurologist, and the last thing they've really done for him is about a year and a half ago, they gave him 5 days of immune globulin, I think they called it a 4-hour infusion.
Yeah, immunoglobulin therapy, yeah. It can be pretty rough for an older patient like that.
Yeah, and I've just been doing some other research that I guess they're just assuming this is kind of a multiple sclerosis type thing, although in my research I found it can also be related to heavy metals, chemical toxins.
Okay, so let me dip into it a little bit for you so we can, you know, kind of put this thing together. So particularly in an older person, you know, any kind of loss of myelinization, you know, when you either have infiltration of amyloid tissue or actually the myelin sheath being broken down like an MS patient, mm-hmm. central system, you know, with Parkinson's patients and so forth. So here's the thing. Here's what you got to have to look at. There's always a why. Why do some people end up that way and some people don't? Some people have a genetic predisposition to it, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen. That's your epigenetic patterns. And, you know, when you know that you have a problem or you have certain BRCA markers that are showing up, then you can take certain steps to, you know, to handle that. But the bottom line is that, you know, the patients that have stroke or cancer, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, even patients, young kids who have ADHD, if you change their environment and the biochemistry of their environment, you see things not only stop, but also begin to reverse themselves. Now, a lot of things that are out there are clinically anecdotal, meaning that there's a lot of doctors who have done X and they've seen an improvement and they've done it repetitively over a period of time, albeit they're not researchers, that they're hardcore clinicians and they get great results. So let's just set that aside for the second. Anything that can demyelinate, break down, cause degeneration, such as heavy metals, such as mold and fungus, such as trauma and injury with high levels of inflammatory irritation to the nervous system can cause all the things. And actually, the list is even more inclusive than that. But nevertheless, these are the things that cause the body to break down. Certain vitamin deficiencies, B12, folic acid, and you know, one of the things that helps older patients is Myers cocktail infusions with high levels of B12, folate, glutathione, and so forth to try to keep the inflammatory levels under control and dramatically increase the body's response patterns. So if this was my father, diet would become very alkaline, very high in omega 3, 6, and 9s, tons of fish, getting rid of the red meats, getting rid of things that are acidic to the body. Things, you know, the foods, salmons and herring and sardines and trout and occasionally some, you know, white meat tuna. Those things are very high in omega fatty acids. So the oilier the fish, the better. Avocados, olive oil, nuts, those things, they provide omega-9s as well. There's a substance, it's called oleic acid. It's a common fat that's found in myelin, and it helps begin the restoration. Medium-chain triglycerides, MCTs, you get those in coconut oils. Things of that nature will also be useful. So there's lots that can be done, but you need to have somebody that can guide you through that. It's not my patient. I can't tell you dosages, but there's let's let it sit at the place that you, in your area up in that part of the world, send me a note. There are 2-3 people within Maine and that are really top shelf and that may be willing to work with you, but that's where you start. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, most definitely. And that's what I was going to ask, is if you knew anybody up here, because I don't think they'd be agreeable to driving or coming
no.
all the way down.
There was
also this hair mineral test that I was reading about, and I was wondering what you know about that, or if there's
hair. I mean, if you're looking for provocative or for something that's going to show heavy metals, the best test is a provocative urinary challenge for heavy metals. The problem is that anybody has any kind of kidney filtration problems, it can be too much of a stress because you're using a substance called DMSA, and it can put a stress on the kidney function. However, the second step would be to get a hair analysis, and that will give you some pattern. I'm not, it's not my number one go-to pattern, but there's other ways of doing it. Doing certain types of neuromuscle function testing can also expose that. In a gentleman that age, I would act very conservatively, particularly if they were cooperative to find things, because it's just a matter of knowing that they're there, desensitizing them, detoxifying the system, but protecting the body from reabsorption at the time that you're doing, and that's the key. So you got to really have somebody who knows their stuff, particularly with a geriatric patient. Diane, send me a note at drtomrozelle.com, or just go to our website. Go to rozellecare.com, and it's HIPAA secured, so there's no problem. Just send me a note. I'll get back to you, and I'll tell you what I think is available in your area. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. This coming Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing, Dr. Robert Ciprian is going to talk about stress and how it affects everything from this craziness called the HP axis, but more importantly, how to get rid of it, how to, you know, finally put it in, you know, a place where it's not going to bite you anymore and that you can actually turn around and heal. Robert, let's talk a little bit about this fascinating area of NET, neuroemotional technique, and it's a spinoff of a lot of other areas. You have neuroemotional freedom technique and so forth, or emotional freedom technique, and a lot of work that was done by other people and with acupuncture and so forth, but this is different. Dr. Scott Walker, who is a friend, colleague, and I'm, as far as I'm concerned, a brilliant human being, is the one that really made this usable. It spun off a guy by the name of Roger Callahan in his 5-minute phobia cure many years ago. Talk to me and talk to our audience a little bit about what NET really is and why it's so impactful and why practitioners really need to be able to use this. And I know you're going to talk about it this Wednesday evening, so let's get into that a little bit.
The thing that's really great about neuroemotional technique from our perspective is that Dr. Scott Walker designed it to look at not only the emotions, but also the biochemistry and the structure of the body. So it works in a holistic fashion, kind of like we do. And basically what it is, you get a muscle that facilitates that when you test it, it's good and strong. You have the patient think about a situation. If it weakens, you could trace out in the body and see actually what will cause the weakness to stop. And then, you know, that's your doorway to get into the body to help the the patients release whatever that stressful trauma is.
So going back to what we talked about in the first part of the program, we said that there's all these linkages that tie things in relative to emotional stress or physical problems that are really due to underlying emotional phenomena. So let's talk about what that really is. Can you give us an example?
Yes. Well, say someone has a reaction to a food because they had a stressful incident, say when they were a child, maybe someone was yelling at them at the dinner table. So whenever they eat that food again, they have really bad reactions. They could have vomiting, they could have diarrhea, all sorts of different things. And it's fascinating. You could have them just think about the situation and find out what acupuncture meridians are involved, what organs are involved, and even find out what nutrients or homeopathics can be related to help the person to get over this linkage that they built there between the food and the emotion.
Now, you're the one that's figuring those out, not the patient. You're just having them visualize certain response patterns. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure if I was confused, maybe everybody else got a little confused on that one as well. The physiological foundations of stress is really important. We have a tendency to not look at them. And as on a day-to-day basis with every patient, unfortunately, all of us at one point of our life are susceptible to those neuroemotional phenomena. So when you have a patient, for example, let's take it on a very practical basis. Let's talk about somebody who has shoulder pain. And, you know, their shoulder pain's there, but they have full range of motion. And, but they keep complaining, my shoulder hurts, my shoulder hurts, my shoulder hurts, right? And they've been everywhere. They've been to other people, and now they're sitting there in front of you. How do you figure out at that point with that shoulder pain, is it an emotional pattern that is not letting it go, so the pain sitting there kind of re-aggravating itself, or something else is missing? How do you work that through?
Well, there's a couple ways to look at it. First of all, I go through and test the muscles of the shoulder, see if they're functioning properly. If they are functioning properly, I could have the patient think about a stressful event that might be linked to it and see if some of the muscles become imbalanced. Or you could look at a shoulder that already has an imbalance and there's some reflexes for the emotions related to certain organs. You could have the patient touch those reflexes and see if it changes the shoulder muscles.
You know, the reason I brought that piece up is because several of the shoulder muscles relate to the organ system, lung. And over a period of time, if our listeners remember, I've always said that every organ in the body has an emotion that's associated with it. And the lung happens to be unresolved grief. So a lot of people who have shoulder pain, particularly in certain motions that are firing these muscles that relate to lung function, may have an unresolved grief problem that took place years ago that they've even forgotten about. Is that correct?
Yes. So many times when you're tracing out these emotions with people, they would be stunned, like, oh, I forgot all about that. It wasn't even conscious to them. And then you bring it up and you work it out and things just change almost miraculously.
So you can basically take someone who has an unremitted pain pattern and that has done everything and has, you know, according to traditional orthopedic neurological impact, has normalcy. But the pain's there. And the pain's real. And it's limiting. And, you know, sometimes physicians have a tendency to say this is all in your head. But it's not. And by identifying the organ muscle pattern, you can put the fire out pretty quickly.
Yes, yes. I had a patient who had severe rib pain from a car accident. They'd been to all sorts of different practitioners and never had relief from it. I worked out the emotion of just the car accident, and I didn't even work on their physical body, and the pain went away all throughout the rib cage because one of the lung muscles attaches down to the rib cage there too.
Yeah, the big old serratus anticus muscle that
yes.
holds the shoulder blade and gives stabilization to that lateral portion of the ribs. It's mind-blowing when you realize how intimately involved the body is and its capacity to protect itself and to show us, hey, listen, something's not right here and you got to get it squared away. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. That's how you reach Dr. Cyprian right here, right now, and talk about anything that you'd like to or a question that's totally unrelated to what we're talking about. This Wednesday evening at the Rozelle Center, Dr. Robert Cyprian is going to present this topic, interesting topic on emotional stress and how to get rid of it. How to, you know, if you've got pain that you've tried everything with, just doesn't seem to go away, comes and goes. You notice if you sit there and think about it for a minute that when you all get all jacked up about something, it seems to get worse. Well, that's the thing that we're talking about. It's that underlying recidivistic. It's going to come back and bite you every time that there's something similar to it. And you're sitting there wondering why. Well, we're going to answer the why, and we're not only going to answer the why, but we're going to show you how to deal with it this Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Call the office, 703-698-7117, and get rid of that emotional stress. Leave it behind. Get it out of your life. Forget about it once and for all, and make sure that it doesn't come back and bite you, you know, like it has been for so many, many years. Why is that? You know, we're talking about emotional stress, and I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to deal with this this one question, but it's also dealing with things like PTSD and, you know, the stuff that these guys are bringing back from the Middle East, or even bomb explosions in this country, or people that are involved in group situations where they're all of a sudden being anchored to certain phenomena and certain conditions that happen to them. And is, you know, is this the same type of thing?
Yes, it's all involved. What happens with PTSD is when you're in a very stressed state and then you have some of these emotional issues happen. Because you're already in a stressed state, they will actually link into your body more and create one of those linkage or anchors we were talking about.
PTSD is an amazing thing, and fortunately we're able to help a lot of people with that problem. We're coming up to a break. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio, 888-630-9625. That's how you find us here, 12 noon high on the Eastern Seaboard. And you know the drill. Those of you who are listening out in the West Coast, do the math. You know what time to tune in. And thank all of you. Some of you are listening to us on Armed Forces Radio as well. And thank you for your calls and for your questions. Hopefully we can help you, and we salute you as well. Coming up this Wednesday evening, Dr. Robert Cyprian, who's been our guest in studio today, will be your host this Wednesday evening at the Rozelle Center at 7 p.m. He's going to be talking about emotional stress and how to get rid of it and how to unanchor it with all the stuff that just keeps coming back and coming back and coming back, and it's not okay. But I promise you, there's a way out. There's a way to make this happen, you know, so meaning gone. So 703-698-7117, and tell the staff that you'd like to attend. Before we go on, Bill, thank you for holding and being patient. How can I help you, sir?
Yeah, I have a left shoulder that doesn't have synovial fluid.
Ouch.
And I wondered, do you have any remedies to compensate for that limitation?
Well, there's a lot of things that, you know, have been attempted and tried and so forth, not only from our world, but also from the medical world. First of all, you want to get everything to work as best you possibly can. The interesting, you know, synovial membranes within there, they act as a buffer. They're the things that keep, you know, things moving softly and easily in a very smooth flowing area. It's like a white substance. It's almost like the consistency of an egg that's been in the refrigerator, you know, not the yellow part, but the white part. And when we make a mistake sometimes, and I'm diverting just a second, that when we hurt a joint, we throw heat on it and not ice. When we throw heat on it, do you remember what happens when you cook an egg? The same thing can happen to that synovial membrane. It thickens, it gets hard, and it becomes much more difficult to deal with. So always, when in doubt, use ice. that synovial fluid, as I said, reduces the friction in the joint space, in the cartilage. So you want to be able to first get things to normalize. Acupuncture, low energy light laser, spinal manipulation, those things work extremely well to help stabilize and normalize joint spaces. Having said that, you want to increase hyaluronic acid within the joint and make sure that you can absorb it. That means that the intestinal system's got to be able to to absorb and to utilize it. Injections of fluids are kind of a mixed bag. Synovial fluid replacement's been around now for a while, and there's good news and bad news. The good news is that it'll help for a while. It takes the pain off. It's hyaluronic acid that they're trying to put back into the joint space, whether it's your knee or your hip or your shoulder. Sometimes it can be extremely effective, and sometimes it doesn't work at all. But what I've seen over time is that it has to be repaired. Now, stem cell research is really coming around into its own. And that's an area that within a few years is going to be probably state of the art. Now, having said that, I don't know enough about your problem, Bill. And unfortunately, we're coming down to the end of the program. I wish we had called a little bit earlier and we could have got into it much more in depth, but I've got to stop for right now. Send me a note and I'll send you more information, but there's much that can be done. Dr. Cyprian, in about 35 seconds or so, tell everybody why they should attend your class. Seriously, you know, this is an important class. It's one that's amazing and you can go away with a lot of data.
Well, I'm going to explain how the body works, how you have these three different stresses that can affect the body, of course, that we always talk about, the structure, the biochemical, and the emotional. But I'm going to show more demonstration of how the emotional affects the body and what could be done to release those emotional stresses on the body.
I mean, so important. I mean, things that we don't think about, things that we need to know about. And, you know, what would it mean to you if you had the tools to make a difference, like, immediately? Check this out this Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. at the Roselle Center. We're coming up for the break. Unfortunately, until next week, call me earlier and send me notes and we'll answer to you. We're here for you every Sunday. We love you all. Bye.